Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network. Good afternoon and welcome to the Minority Report. My name is Michael. You know me as the Bougie Black Brother. And I have a special guest with me, Gustavo Arce.
Arce, yes.
That's the correct way, right?
That's
yeah.
Right.
So most people, as us Americans, always go, yeah, Gustavo Arce, right? Nah, it's Arce. So you say it properly. But Gustavo, we met Gustavo when we was looking at solar, and we was with EV Hybrid Noir.
Right.
And he does a lot of work, but I'm going to let him explain a lot of that. But I was so interested in his history in order for him to get to this point. Mm-hmm. So I really want you to kind of give us that portion, because I was really excited to find your path to get to solar, where I'm Johnny come lately and be like, oh, I'm into solar. Yeah, nah, dude, you really not into solar. So Gustavo, how you doing today?
Fantastic, man. Thank you so much for having me on
the
show.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure. And hopefully people will get something out of this.
Right.
And then be knocking on your door. How about that?
That'd be great. That'd be
so
great.
So tell us about Gustavo. How did you get into solar?
Well, I like to say my story is a little bit different, but it's very it kind of it makes sense for why I got into solar. As a kid, I come from a Mexican background. And
okay.
Every Saturday, Sunday, summers, and any type of break you can imagine, for the most part, a lot of Hispanics like to take their kids to work. My dad does construction. So every weekend, instead of me like, oh, it's time to sleep in on Saturday and Sunday.
Time to play.
Go outside. No, yeah, you're going outside.
Yeah,
you're going
to go to work. I don't know about playing, though, right?
So my dad would take me to work, and he does construction, right?
Right.
And even as a young kid, I would see, my job would be to pick up the trash and just make sure that the area was clean, just so the workers can, they could do what they had to do. So as a kid and more into high school, I started realizing that every job site, there'd be huge containers of trash. And a lot of this trash would be, it wouldn't be usable, but it would still be a good piece of wood or a good piece of sheetrock that it just didn't make sense to use. It was very hard
waste
to use. Waste. Mm-hmm. So in high school, I got to live firsthand, like the amount of waste that in construction that we're doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see this across food. We see this across energy when we leave a light turned on, things of that nature. So in high school, I also started to see, I had my first Netflix account.
Oh, there you go.
I started to see all these documentaries about like us humans, how much we waste, how much we use, and just our overconsumption.
Right.
In the college, I kind of knew I wanted to do something with the environment, the earth, climate change, whatever you want to call it, right?
Right.
So I decided to become, to declare my major as a geologist.
Okay.
My first class in there, I knew this wasn't for
this
me.
This wasn't me.
Yeah, I needed to do something on the other end, right?
Right.
So I'm like, all right, man, what else do I have? And at the time, Georgia State was developing this program. It's called social entrepreneurship.
Yes.
And the way I like to define social entrepreneurship is essentially building a business with a cause and also with profit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a hybrid between a business and a nonprofit, social entrepreneurship.
Yep.
Also knew that this whole energy crisis is a big deal, and it's going to be even larger in the future due to, we have to reduce our fossil fuel emissions, our carbon emissions, and all the other greenhouse pollutants. So I said, okay, well, solar makes sense. It makes sense in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Now I will task myself with, how do I get in the solar energy field? And I knew absolutely no one in the field. My parents didn't know. My cousins, my uncle, I didn't come from that field.
Right, right.
But I knew that I could do it. So.
But I don't mean to interrupt, but why solar? Why not anything else outside of just the solar? You know, they have windmills. They have, composite where they recycle. But why solar, though?
So at the time, I was also hearing about these movements called solarized movements.
Okay.
Essentially, where a community and its residents help bulk purchase solar. Mm-hmm. So I had kept hearing this whole solar word, and that's really one of the first things that caught my eye.
Mm-hmm.
Also, wind isn't as feasible in Georgia. maybe closer to the coast as it is in other states.
Absolutely.
So I kind of knew, okay, well, Georgia is the 10th or 11th largest solar producer in the nation.
Really?
But I also knew that about 97 of that is a solar farm. So it's very few
residential or commercial from that.
Correct. Right. So I actually started volunteering with the Sierra Club.
Okay. Okay.
And at my first meeting there, you know, I went to the meeting. It was an energy coalition meeting. I was the youngest one there.
So did they get you out of college or somebody? So they got me out of college.
Yeah. I started volunteering with them.
Free labor.
They knew I needed to put something on my resume. They knew I needed some connections, right?
Right.
So I went there. I asked one of the individuals who runs it. I said, hey, do you know anyone in the solar industry or how I can like tap into it? Mm-hmm. And it was almost like one of those timing things, right? Where
like, aha,
the timing is right, and the opportunity is there. And I was right there in the middle. I caught both of them.
Right.
So she introduced me to this gentleman named Donald Moreland. Okay. He owns Solar Crowdsource. And at the time he was also the chair of the Georgia Solar Energy Association.
Wow.
So at first I started, I got to know him and he said, hey, you could come volunteer at the campaign. They're doing the Solarize Decatur DeKalb. Mm-hmm. Basically, Decatur wanted to go green, and so there's residents. So a coalition formed, and they basically help market and help people go solar with a certified, installer.
But in the DeKalb Decatur.
So that's really the thing, like the concentration cuts down the prices for everyone just because the installer's in the area. And as opposed to driving an hour to Gainesville and an hour to wherever Macon or something.
Keep it consolidated.
Exactly.
Cut your costs.
Proximity.
Yeah, proximity.
And also the same materials, same micros, the same railing, right?
Oh, excellent.
So, I got involved with him. I told him, hey, do you have an internship that I can be a part of, or can I intern with you? And he said no and yes. I was like, all right, talk to me. Come on,
all right, all right.
I got some type of
you
yes.
You just confused me. Go ahead, right.
So I told him, what does that mean? And he said, well, I don't have an internship, but you can intern with me. And I said, well, I'm good with social media, I'm good with videoing, and I'm good with graphic design, right?
Okay.
So he was like, well, perfect. We need help with some marketing and explaining to people this whole solar thing.
Wait a minute. You got some skills that you did not mention college-wise.
Yeah.
Where did you pick those up?
So, my father's an entrepreneur, right? So I kind of saw that for him to be competitive, he has to continuously work on his skill set.
Yes.
So I figured, all right, one of the issues with solar in Georgia is, a lot of people don't know about it.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
So, like, that goes in with marketing. Mm-hmm. So I said, let me get good at delivering messages, creating messages, and communicating with people how things work.
Right.
So, I would go online. I'd go to YouTube, man. Like, how to edit this video. Lighting, all that. Like, it's all self-learned. I didn't learn this in school.
Okay. It was part of the tools that you needed to acquire in order to be better at the skill that you want to get
to. And no one told me this. I just had to realize it by myself. And
you see it.
Foresee that, correct?
Yep.
So I picked those up. Mm-hmm. I started interning with him. And it was I interned with him for 2 years, man. It was I would say it was probably the best internship anyone can receive.
Wow.
Why? Two reasons why.
Okay.
I'd be in all the meetings with governments, cities, counties, nonprofits, different types of stakeholders. Mm-hmm. And I would listen in, and even solar installers, I would listen into their needs, kind of what hard things they had to go through. Mm-hmm. And I would kind of start forming my own kind of like conclusions of how campaigns can work. Just listening and absorbing and being in that area
huge. Marketing skill was just coming up, right?
Exactly.
How do I get that?
Exactly.
Okay.
And another thing is that once the campaign will take place, the installers will install on the homeowner's roofs. Mm-hmm. After, I was tasked with creating testimonials. So I would go to a customer's home, a solar adopter's home. I would ask them what they did, what they loved, and what can be improved. And from there, it's kind of where I picked up their pains and like what good things the solar installer did.
Gotcha.
So from a very early start in my, I guess, career, I knew that, okay, well, this is what they would have loved to see. This is how they'd be great, how they'd be incredibly like happy with the process. Mm-hmm. So from an early age, I started to write down things like, I should do this as opposed to this. I should talk to them about this as opposed to something else. So I did that for 2 years. I was involved towards the end with the Solarize the Care the Cab movement, Solarize Atlanta, Solarize Dunwoody, and a few other ones.
Wow. Okay.
So, I mean.
So expand it out a little bit.
Exactly. So I also expanded my network. I would say I'm one of the youngest solar professionals in the state. I really don't know of anyone else.
How old are you?
Do you actually know my age?
Pretty much.
Okay, but what would you have guessed if you didn't know?
If I would have guessed, I would have, at first, I was like, oh, he's in his late 20s.
Okay, late 20s. From that. I'm actually in my early 20s.
I know.
I'm 22 right now.
And that's what makes it amazing. And that's why I'm so interested when I talk to you.
Right.
Because at a young age, you picked up a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And you took it seriously.
Absolutely.
I mean, and listening to you right now, you took the effort to say, I got to hone my skills.
Yeah.
If I want to do this, I got to hone it in one way. You took a lot from your family, from entrepreneurship,
correct,
hard working, the effort into putting things in there,
exactly,
and then put it into what you wanted to do.
Exactly.
So that's what fascinates me so much with you. So
Thank you. I was very fortunate, you know, I had like great parents as well. I was very blessed in many aspects, you know, and to some degree privileged as well to be in those positions. You know, at Georgia State, I received a full ride scholarship for Latino leaders. And, you know, little things like that helped me get to where I am today. Towards the latter half or the latter end of my internship, you know, it was graduation time.
You know,
and
what I do.
Now I have to, okay, you got to get serious, man. Like,
what do I do?
You got to get a real job now, right?
No more. That intern, right, yeah.
And, you know, I needed an income. I needed a job, so... Right. Towards the end of 2018 and the beginnings of 2019, I got introduced to this gentleman named Kaveh Kamune, and his wife Rosie Aldashi. I got a phone call and they said, "Hey, someone gave you your resume to us, and you know we like what we see, and we're starting a company. Would you like to have lunch?" So this was around February or March, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, like...
Of 19.
Correct. Okay. So the second month, so January, February of 2019. They had already put in place a system. You know, they had done all the official things like incorporation and start to build the website. They knew that my background was in marketing and sales, and I had been involved with like all the Solarize campaigns. So they knew that I also knew a lot of, you know, fairly... influential members in the whole sustainability field. We had lunch and we kept talking for a couple months. So I graduated and we had a serious conversation and I said, all right, when am I starting? And they made the offer and it was, you know, I couldn't resist the offer. I did have the opportunity to interview with other sustainability companies. Right. And I figured that, okay, well, I'm young, right?
Right.
I just got out of college. I can go really put my stamp on a startup company, or I could go to a more established company. I already know how they operate because of the Solarize programs.
And you've been around them.
So exactly. Right. So I kind of, it was either.
You kind of weighing it. Like,
exactly. Right. Or I should go work with like a different other industry, in the tech industry. So I said, well, this is what I'm passionate about. This are the pros and cons. And you know what? I'm pretty competitive, so all my life I played soccer, football, wrestling. And I said, any team that I'm on,
we're winning.
And that was really, you know, I said, I'm going to go against the status quo, and I'm going to go with Kaveh.
But you have the entrepreneur blood
in you,
too.
I think
so. So, you know, that was the other thing that I recognized,
right,
because thinking about age-wise, I think if I was young, I would have went for the new thing, be like, hey, I'm just starting, I can work with that. Older, we're more, let me get with a stable.
Yeah.
Then once I get stable, maybe. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at your age and having that in your blood, that was just fantastic. Yeah. Still nervous for me, but yeah. I was like, okay. Good thing for Gustavo, though. Yeah. I got you.
And I mean, I had conversations with the other company, and they wished me the best. And I said, I wish you the best as well.
As well, but I'm coming to get you. I'm coming
you know, to get you. In the yeah, back of my I'm head, I was like, you. Appreciate that. And
right.
Get ready. That's all I really like. So I said, get ready, because I know what you guys aren't doing. I know what you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. But I can't say it's vice versa, right? They really didn't know what we were doing or like what we were planning.
Right.
So I guess we officially got the whole team together. It was a team of five, July 15th. And
okay.
We really took off, man. We were doing a lot of marketing. We learned a lot. We had a lot of conversations of how best convey this solar message mm-hmm. to individuals of why it makes sense to go solar now.
So your position is what?
So right now I'm the sales director. So mm-hmm. I'm in charge of all the residential sales and commercial, building those relationships, because mm-hmm. commercial is typically a longer process.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you have to go through different levels.
POs and you know, they got a
budget yeah, and you got budget, all types of paperwork.
See you in 2 years, you know.
Legal work.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, and I like to talk to people. I like to explain to them, especially, you know, if people have like electric vehicles, like why it makes sense solar plus an electric vehicle or an electric vehicle plus solar. Mm-hmm. One usually comes before the other.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been seeing with a lot of the individuals that we talk to mm-hmm. on a daily basis is either they're going to get the solar and they already have an EV or mm-hmm. they have an EV and they're going to get solar. So it's one usually comes right before or after the other.
Right.
Right.
Like almost hand to hand, because mm-hmm. one way, if you start either one, you start realizing mm-hmm. what you're doing to the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing it with solar, then why am I driving a gas car?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have, I'm getting rid of the gas car and I'm getting that, then be kind of like, but I'm taking electricity,
uh-huh.
doing it. So then your mind starts saying, hey, this yep. is better for me.
Exactly.
But yeah, I got a lot more, but go ahead.
Like when you redo your kitchen, well, it makes sense to redo the bath now.
Yeah, know? Exactly. You'd be like, hey, we might as well do the bath and do the floors in the living room, you know, one of those.
And one of the main, this is what I forgot to include. The main, two main reasons I decided to go Better Tomorrow is because of the founders and mm-hmm. what they wanted to do.
So their future, their
exactly,
way they see
it. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So a couple things about Kaveh and Rosie is, they're one of the first in the states to get solar. This was really? When each watt was $9, so like four times as expensive as it is today, man.
Wow.
Back in 2004, like the city didn't even know what to do with this.
Yeah, yeah.
They're also some of the first to get electric vehicles. So Kaveh has the first generation Leaf. I don't know what year it is. I drove it the other day and it was great. Like it drives like a great car.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, they're really putting their money where their mouth is, right? In the most literal forms.
Yep. Yep.
Also, they're Iranian. You know, you really don't see that much, I guess, individuals of color in the solar industry yet. It's growing though. It's growing but quick.
It's the knowledge.
Correct.
And that's where great people with vision,
mm-hmm.
If they see it, they jump on it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you see a vision like what you did, you saw a great vision that aligned with what you wanted to do. So it's easy to just jump right on that and be like, look, I'm already looking that way. Mm-hmm. So I'm going right with you.
Right.
And then like you said, we're going to win.
Exactly.
So my effort is winning. I'm not sure about you.
Exactly.
But I'm here to win.
And I love their work ethic. I mean, I'm kind of a workaholic as well. And I really don't have other responsibilities like kids and a wife, you know. So
hobbies, though. So other than this solar, what do you do?
I love boxing.
Oh, my God.
Actually, I was feeling my knuckles today. Like, coming out, I was like, oof, I should not be punching that hard. I love boxing.
Is it a stress relief, or it's just, hey, this just feels good?
I love it. Like,
I
go to sleep watching it. Just like, so I like being entertained by the boxing, but mm-hmm. also seeing the mechanics of, like, if I do this, he's going to do this, and if I do this, he's going to return. So it's like, I like being very strategic about things. And
okay.
In boxing, you have to be incredibly strategic. MMA so, as well.
So you saw it in that way to be able to say, I can continue on from that.
Correct.
I can look at boxing and say, strategically, I can foresee certain things.
Exactly.
So, and then counterpunch in a way.
Exactly, exactly. So, like in boxing, one thing you really want to do is kind of throw bait. Mm-hmm. So he can do either like two things that you want him to do, and from there, like, you can really like make your real attack, not the bait. So in business is to some degree it's similar, right? Because you want to have, if this happens, you're gonna do this, and if this doesn't work, you're gonna do this. A lot of pivoting.
Kind
of
aggressive, though.
It's pretty aggressive. We have to be aggressive with this movement.
Yeah.
Because, like...
And you ain't the only one.
The clock is ticking, too, like, with the environment. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's one of the reasons, like... I don't know if you can tell, but I'm very passionate about
this whole
solar thing. And it's my future, your kids' future.
Exactly.
And also, like... It just makes sense. Like, this age of misinformation, there has to be true information out there.
But here's where, again, we can jump into this portion. It's the education. So sometimes if people aren't educated, they only can believe what they're being told.
Correct.
And I knew it was something, but I didn't know the value.
Correct.
And we decided to get it. And when you walked in, your presentation was amazing.
Thank you.
And I say that because I'm a data-driven guy.
Right.
So if the data doesn't work, I don't want to talk to you.
Right.
Because that means, back to your counterpunching. I'm a chess guy, though. Mm-hmm. So my chess is the anticipation of what they're going to do, but be on the defensive, but in turn, what would be my next offensive move.
Correct.
Same thing. I'm just not aggressive, but
not like that.
Not like that.
Not hurting your brain.
Yeah, but exactly the same mentality of trying to get that. So when you present it, here's the data that you're looking at. If you do this, this is what you're going to get. But if you only getting this, remember, your payback is going to be this period.
Correct.
Now, financially, you're fine, but it's going to be a delay of that. And then what are you going to do next?
Exactly.
Now, if you want to do your whole house, your cost is here. Mm-hmm. If you want to do a section, hey, let's evaluate it. And then when you got my bill and you went and say, hey, look, let's look at what your consumption is.
Right.
Hey, your consumption's only this. You're only going to get about 15% from this year.
Correct.
Okay. So what should I do from that? Mm-hmm. So the layers of detail and education that you give helps people. And you're smart enough to say, here's a high level, but then whoever you sit with, you change to the way the person is,
which is a
great skill.
Exactly.
Because most people keep talking above people or sound like they don't know what the hell they're talking about and they have a script.
Yep.
You don't have a script.
No, because the way like I approach things is like I like to be treated. I want to treat people like I like to be treated. Like, don't talk to me in things I can't understand and don't talk to me like I don't know what's going on.
Right.
So I like to, first of all, I like to receive information. Like, ask you about your goals, like, what you want to do, where are you at financially, what you're thinking about. And also, the most important thing is collecting data, collecting your bills and analyzing them, asking you about your patterns. If you have an electric vehicle in your situation, you did, how that affects your usage, right?
Yep.
From there, we have to look at the information. We can plug it into our software, but you have to just look at it and like, oh, this makes sense. They're paying this because of this. They're on this rate plan with this utility. So we take that. We plug it into our calculations. We see the orientation of your roof, how your roof is shaped, the size. And from there, we see, okay, these are the possibilities. Mm-hmm. We can do three different systems, like the largest possible. We could do kind of like the minimum so you can see savings and you can really like make a dent in the bill. And also kind of like the medium size system. Mm-hmm. And that's what I presented to you.
Oh, yeah.
And then
you had good, better, and best.
Yeah, like the ABC.
And some people jump right into the best.
Yeah.
But some people, like in my sense, I wanted to learn.
Correct.
So the only way I can learn is not on the high end, but see what it is. And then I'd be like, you know what? Yes, I do need more. Or do I really want more? Mm-hmm. Or do I just want just regular consumption to keep my bill down.
Exactly.
I want to eventually want to not be on the grid.
Correct. Correct.
So I know what my long-term plan is. And then financially, you show where it is. Then you showed one thing. I think really important that you've done was also to say, your bill's going to go up.
Yeah.
You know, these utility companies is going to steadily raise your bill.
Yeah, the escalation
so if,
rate.
If you're not looking at that or thinking about that and say, well, I'll wait a couple of more years, then your bill go up. You say, why is my bill going up? Yeah. Because you were told, but you didn't react.
Correct. So, like, so on average, if I remember correctly, you guys pay around $250, $260 a month or $240.
About $240.
About $240, right? I mean, just in 10 years, what do you, if you didn't have solar, what do you think your bill would be?
If I did that average of $240 and I didn't do anything.
You didn't, just as is.
Probably in the mid threes.
That's about right. Because what we see in Georgia, the average escalation rate, the rate at which utility prices are increasing, it's anywhere from 3 to 4%. So it's kind of like compound interest type deal, you know? And before you realize it, you're back up to 300 or, I mean, some homes, they're paying a lot more than that, depending on the utility as well.
So talk to me about, and this is where my issue came in. You know, houses are consuming a lot because we're putting more and more stuff in our house. But that's one. But on the other hand, they're making more energy efficient.
Correct.
And, you know, bigger items. With that clashing in between, you know, now I'm going to get an extra refrigerator because I, you know, now I'm doing this and what it, well, that's a big consumption, even though it's energy saving, but that's a larger consumption. Well, you know what? I'm getting a better working AC unit.
Correct.
Because I want it all over the house and I didn't extend. So you're really building more costs, even though you're buying cost efficient items.
Yep.
It's a contradiction.
And you also want to see like your, like the lifestyle you want to live, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, they pay, I was talking to one person, they're paying $140 for like a 2,000 square foot home, which is actually pretty good.
Okay.
But they're like sweating at night, and sweating during the day. I was like, I said like.
With a fan in the window and just like.
I walked in and I'm like, it's early, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I'm sweating. Yeah, like, happen, yeah. I was like, so, you know, do you like living like this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's crazy, isn't
it?
Or you go into on the opposite side. You go in and these people got like big ass coats and sweatshirts on. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you like, know? Are you? You gotta live too, you know.
Well, no, I want to keep my bill down.
And
you are.
And to some degree, like you're gonna be paying very similar, if, especially in the winter. And remember, I talked about the rate structures.
Yes.
And we could get into that in a little bit in the, like in a couple of minutes. But to answer your question, if you're using more, even if it's a more efficient appliance, like you're still using you know. Yeah. So to some degree it's gonna increase your bill.
Right.
But to some degree you're also gonna be enjoying your home more, enjoying your lifestyle more. So it's really
your lifestyle.
It's really a matter of like balancing kind of like what you're in the position to get and also like how you wanna live, you know? And that's really one of the things that varies from home to home.
Yep. And people to people.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
This is what you did for us. So when you did that, we did the evaluation. And remember you said, have someone come in and do an assessment of the home.
Correct.
To make sure you're not losing energy in one. So we did that.
Right, correct.
The other thing is we knew we had some things that was running constantly.
Correct.
So we got rid of the extra refrigerator.
Correct.
the extra occupants in the house. So
she told me.
So that helped also.
Right.
So we said if our lifestyle is going to change and we really want to be more efficient, what are the things that you can do without but be compensated to, back to your point, I want to have a livable lifestyle.
Correct.
If we go out a lot, it's great. We have the thermostats that when we out of here, it drops.
And that's what you impressed me a lot when I came and you told me that there's two different thermostats.
Yeah.
I said, well, these guys really like, they know about like this whole sustainability thing and like saving money and being efficient. And
but it was small. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we was doing small things.
Yep.
But when you introduced us to say, this is true savings.
Correct.
And that's why it's important when you hear about solar and what you're saying, it's very important to say, what is the next level?
Right.
But it's the kind of education you give.
Correct.
Again, you got scientists coming in, they talking, and you'd be like, yeah, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah.
Man, get the hell out of
good
here.
Good one. Good one. Later. You got that one.
You got that one. But when you say, hey, look, what's your bill? What are you really looking at? Why do you want to do this?
Yep.
Because some people say, well, my neighbor got it. Okay, got you.
But you then don't know you, what it's doing for the neighbor.
But, again, counterpunch it. My neighbor got it. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Your neighbor's saving this amount.
Mm-hmm.
You're still teaching them, even though their mindset is being like them.
Exactly.
But you gave them a better sense of, this is why you should have it, as well as getting it like them.
It's like getting something tailored.
Yeah.
You know, you might have very similar suit, very similar solar system, but it's going to be a lot different based on
how you it'll fit you are. Better.
Exactly.
We wearing the same suit, but, you know.
Mine does this.
You're a boxer.
Does this. Exactly.
So you got a boxer body.
And that's an old body. You touched on a very incredibly important point that if you get a couple things from this podcast, get this. So you always want to conserve energy before you produce it. So in your situation, right?
Okay.
You had two different thermostats, right?
Mm-hmm.
You unplugged the second refrigerator. You know, some people in your home who were here, like, they're now not here. So your consumption went way down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when the energy audit came, so we have a sister company. It's called ECS. They do energy audits.
Do well.
And very in-depth. And again, they give you a good, better, and best plan of attack. So you can see what you want to do at the moment and what you should do long-term.
So they got that thermal imaging, right?
Correct.
That's amazing.
Blow door, and then they look at the ducts, they look at the leaks, and they tell you basically everything that you can do to improve your home, right?
Mm-hmm.
They go in the attic, and they see all types of stuff. Things that I'm still learning about.
Yeah. And so, you would never think about, because I thought the obvious things was, I'm leaking from the window, maybe I should do the door, the roof. And so I'm like, oh, obviously something's wrong there. Mm-hmm. But when they did all of that, it was like, you're okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can do small changes, but your house is pretty airtight.
Yeah, yours was pretty good.
Like, yeah.
And I've seen some scary homes, man.
So I think I made the assumption that the other people are like, man, we have a draft coming through there. Oh, you know, I got to fix my roof. And I was like, wow, maybe my house is like that and I don't even know it. So that's why I took your advice to say, look, just be sure. So when you start doing these things for consumption.
Correct.
I like to be proactive.
Correct.
I always tell my wife, it's not the money you spend, it's how you spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at it, back to your point of, before I spend it, how much am I spending? If I'm always spending $200, now I'm only spending $150, I saved $50.
Correct.
Not that you're spending $150, you consistently spent two. Now you're saving 50.
Exactly.
So I was like, what are you going to do with that 50 now? Oh, I'm going to spend it. No. That's
plug that thing back in there.
Plug that back in there to what you want to do.
Exactly.
So that's, great observation. I try always to think that way with, because I'm data driven. Back again. Once again, it's about the data. If
logistics,
the data
says that. You do logistics. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So that helps me because I got to think long term. If we do all of this and it takes 6 months to get this done, what is the reward on the backside? If not, back to chess.
Exactly.
What is your next move if this doesn't work?
Exactly.
So if I feign him to go this way and it doesn't work, what is your next move?
What you going to do after that one? You might get yourself in some trouble.
Exactly. Like you hit in the mouth. You know what I mean? So, so that's thank you for that. I think that's, people don't hear it that way.
And this is the thing that a lot of people, solar installers won't tell you, right?
Mm.
Because think about it. If I didn't tell you, hey, get you an energy audit, right? In your situation, you didn't have many things to fix, okay? But let's say you did have a lot of things to fix, and we didn't do the energy audit. That means we would have to build a bigger solar system to offset that, like, leakage.
Yeah.
So it's, to some degree, it's about being true to, like, your company's mission. And our company's mission is to help, like, individuals see, like, to be as efficient as possible and then to produce.
Yeah.
There's always energy efficiency, then production.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I feel better about, like, telling you, hey, do this first and then consider solar. And we've you know, a lot of people that we do recommend that to, they said, hey, we're just going to do the energy audio. We're not considering solar anymore.
Good. And
to some degree, like, it doesn't hurt us as much because we know, like, this was the best thing for them. And they're going to benefit the most as well. And then they might have friends.
Or long term.
Exactly.
They may say, you know what? This is what I'm going to do.
So, exactly. So, like, long term, they might reconsider solar.
And yeah.
I mean, we're in this. Have I told you about the building that we're building? About a new office?
Yeah. And you're going to have, like, the supplies on one level.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
So, bottom floor is going to be basically our operations is going to handle everything. Top floor is going to be, like, educational rooms, content creation rooms to, like, get the message out. And just, like, educating people about this whole solar movement. So, we're excited, man. It's going to be on Memorial Drive. We're going to have we want to be like the staple of Georgia. Mm-hmm. Like that one solar. When you think of solar, you know, when you think of an airplane, you think of what? Maybe like Delta or like
Boeing or whatever. Right? Yeah, who's creating it.
Exactly.
Right.
So
right.
When you think of solar in Georgia, my goal is to hey, better tomorrow solar.
Yeah.
That's just one of the things.
So question for you. I'm big on minorities being educated because we're so behind because we don't have access
to
information that way. So what is some things that you're looking at or your company is looking at to kind of start getting minorities of all denominations or whatever? I mean, people to say, these are some things you didn't have access to now. Mm-hmm. Here's the education. It doesn't mean you got to get solar, but here's the education.
So one of the things I take, I guess I put in my bucket of personal responsibilities is helping educate the Hispanic and the Latinx community, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like where I come from. And I know the necessity to educate these individuals. So we decided to join the Georgia Hispanic Construction Association.
Oh, cool.
Right? So we're the only solar company there. Again, it tells you like, why did anyone think about it? Well, maybe there's not a Hispanic in that company or something.
So maybe I need to come over here.
Exactly.
Right.
And so you look at it from a multifaceted point, right? One, the education, but one, it's like good for business.
Yes.
It's good for business to get to know more people. A lot of these individuals, they want more education as well. Believe it or not, man.
They do.
Believe it or not, like these individuals, the builders, the subcontractors, electricians, they want more information. They just don't know where to get it. So what we're planning to do is form an educational seminar to help educate builders on rebates, on commercial rebates, residential rebates, if they build more sustainable. Also with certifications like LEED certification, Earthcraft certification.
Right.
Give them that exposure so that way they can become more interested.
It's good.
Another project that we're doing is we're doing one of the first solar systems on the low-income Class C apartment complex.
So apartment complex.
Correct. So we're putting self-funded. We're funding this. And we're doing a study, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you put a solar system on apartment complexes,
mm-hmm.
that means the bills are going to be lower for the individuals living there.
Right.
These individuals, you know, they're not doing the best financially, right? They're Class C.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're able to keep the same family, the same individual in that apartment for a longer time, that helps the landlord prevent, like, new people coming in, new applications, new costs. Exactly. So we're doing a study that says solar makes sense for landlords as well. And I mean, we've been running into a few speed bumps due to some technical things with the utilities, but we're working with pretty influential people to help get those situated.
So are you looking at it with the federal government? I mean, well, the state government officials, because that can be a hindrance.
Mm-hmm.
And then these utility companies who are used to saying, I don't need anything. You plug up to us, take our energy.
So usually, the utility, we talk to the utility, and then you really want to talk to people who help the utility make decisions, right?
Okay.
So in Georgia, or at least for Georgia Power, it's the public service commissioners. Mm-hmm. It's five individuals responsible for helping Georgia Power, essentially, to some degree, like regulating them,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And allowing them, mandating them to put this amount of solar. They could raise their prices this much. So it's kind of one of the best things I think that you can do is kind of go directly to who's kind of like in charge to some degree.
Right.
And hey, this is one situation that a solar company or a landlord might encounter. Is there anything that you could do from your end to push the utility to make it, you know, make it easier? Because right now we've been having a pretty hard time connecting the solar system to the utility. And
right.
So we're trying to, you know.
So let's flip backwards to the construction. Mm-hmm. So you said growing up and being with your dad and you out there with the construction industry now, what big things are you looking at to say, hey, look, as you're doing this, this mm-hmm. should be an option.
Exactly.
I'm not saying add us in here. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, how do you approach that to them to say, hey, I'm educating y'all. Here's some other things. Also,
mm-hmm. so there's two super big things, right?
Okay.
We're seeing this with builders and with individuals who are building their homes. So with
buildings. Really? Okay.
Yes. Wow. I think you're going to enjoy that one. So with builders, man, one of the things that we tell builders is, look, for solar, this is the ideal position of the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the ideal things that you can do to this home, like in, spray foam insulation or higher efficiency items, more insulation, the nests, you know, tracking.
Mm-hmm.
This will help sell the home quicker because there are studies that say a higher efficient home sells quicker.
Absolutely.
Sells a little bit pricier. And also the potential home buyers are more likely to buy this
energy efficient home.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
And what really surprised me is we actually just went to a home show mm-hmm. in the Infinite Energy Center in Gwinnett like about a month ago, right?
Okay.
We talked to a lot of people who are building their homes, and the number one question they would ask when they're still in the planning process is how do I orientate my roof so it can fit for solar? So a lot of these individuals are already thinking, like, if I'm going to build a home, I'm going to put solar on it. They just don't know how they should build a home.
Right.
So that's where
And what does it take?
Exactly.
Education.
And that's where we come in, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, we have a whole lot of fact sheets, and it's educational material
mm-hmm.
to help different people in different positions, like new home builders, current home builders, electric vehicle drivers, people who have gas and want to switch to electric.
Mm-hmm.
We're tailoring the messages so that it helps them in their different process.
I got you.
So it's being very specific for very specific people.
So you said something that sparked another question that I had. I'm glad you said it. But you have homes that have natural gas
mm-hmm.
and you have homes that they kind of have all electric.
Mm-hmm.
If you have all electric, your bill is high as hell.
Correct.
So in order to recover that because you only have electric, is that a higher consumption from the solar, or do you kind of balance that out to say you consume this based on this and you're going to need these many kilowatts from that?
So one of the things that, if you look at the bills, right? So mm-hmm. first thing is assessing the situation, assessing the patterns. If you see if you have an electric bill and the gas bill,
mm-hmm.
if you analyze what you're paying for, right? So with your situation, exactly, your electric bill, 75% of that
mm-hmm.
is what you use, and 25% of that is what we call junk fees, right? You're just paying like these random old fees and okay, whatever. But if you also see your gas bill, you're also paying a base fee.
Okay.
Okay. So in this, like, let's just use your home for example. If you decided to stop using your gas, cut the gas off, and switch to electric, obviously your electric bill would go higher,
mm-hmm.
right? However, you have solar, meaning the whole usage goes down.
Mm-hmm.
You're not paying that base fee anymore, and you're knowing that all your electricity is coming from electric. So we actually just launched a campaign that's we call it Electrify and Solarize, basically helping individuals who have electric, who have gas, go from gas to electric, right? Mm-hmm. So we're giving them a rebate as well, just to like help them out
to switch.
Exactly, and if they decide to go solar, like they can apply for that rebate.
So can you quote that price?
Yeah, so I believe the total amount is $1,000. So you switch from gas to fully electric, we'll give you $1,000 if you decide.
So that's total home or just?
It's $125 per kilowatt, up to 8 kilowatts. Okay. So it's about $1,000.
Because, I mean, being realistic, with our gas, mm-hmm. our gas stays low all year long, mm-hmm. which is, back to your point, most of that is the base fee mm-hmm. and the less amount of gas from that. But then in the winter, you know, obviously
it goes higher.
And that's where mine's at. You can see us so low outside of the winter months, and then it starts going up.
Right.
But the good thing for us is if we're not home and we try to stay out during those months, you see it kind of go down and mm-hmm. then it kind of peak and it's just off. But once the summer months or the warmer months is there, it's right there at the
right, bottom. Just the base fee.
Yeah.
Do you know how much it is?
No, because you just reminded me, because I think
yeah.
the guys that came in did the assessment for us, they uh-huh. was like, you're fine all through these. It's just your winter month and your base fee, you're paying that and you're only paying maybe $7 or $8 more than that. And I was like, what?
So then
But you're kind of explaining it now.
Yeah, in your situation, it would make sense for you to switch yeah. from gas because you will eliminate that base fee. Mm-hmm. Of course, your electric bill might get like $10 higher, but you're paying $10 electric, but you're saving $10 over here. So it's really just about...
But think about
you
it.
You see what I'm saying?
I get rid of the base fee, though.
Exactly.
So that's really the...
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what I got educated
again.
And it, so this came... This... rebate came about because our owners, their background is in real estate, right? Mm-hmm. So they know the ins and outs of real estate and like managing properties. Mm-hmm. And the number one question they get asked for their properties is it all electric? Because for a low income family, paying two base fees is a big deal.
Yes.
So if it's just one base fee and they just got to do one connection, it solves a lot of, you know, their headaches.
So I'm going to tell you an issue, though, because Alicia can tell you that. Mm-hmm. She hates cooking on electric. Mm-hmm. And it when you cook yeah. on gas, it's much better. It's really? More even. It's more even.
Interesting. You see, like, I hardly cook. I don't have kids or a wife, so I haven't lived that.
You're like, it doesn't matter. I'm just cooking, right?
I'm educating myself as well, too.
So gas stoves and everything really cooks evenly. Your food electric, maybe one side is a little hotter than the other, so you never really get a true even out. Uh-huh. So my fear is getting rid of a base fee and having a lot of complaints. So
whole lot of baking gonna go on then.
hey, you're not eating tonight. We're on that electric stove. But that's really interesting because people don't understand the rate structure mm-hmm. of the companies and utilities who mm-hmm. you're using. Like water, I may not even be home for the whole month. And it's no water running, but I'm going to get a bill.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
there's a base fee structure that says you utilizing our service, so you got to pay for that.
And think about it, right? So these rate structures are incredibly smart, man.
Yeah.
Because think about it. Let's just, for example, your bill... About 75% of it is based on your consumption rate. Mm-hmm. So that 25% of those junk fees are in direct proportion to the amount that you use. So if you are, let's say you're paying $100 per month, just round figures. Mm-hmm. Let's say $75 of that is what you're using, mm-hmm. like the cents per kilowatt hours. That number is going to determine your junk fees, right? But it's still going to be about 25%.
Okay.
Now, if you reduce the electric bill, that 75% in half, that doesn't mean your total bill is going to go down in half because of those junk fees.
It stays stable with that.
Exactly.
But your bill goes down. You'd be like, oh, I'm doing well.
Yeah, but
you didn't realize your whole bill isn't going
down. Exactly. So remember when I told you that the amount you offset from energy isn't the same as the savings?
Right.
It might be like 20%, 18%. Mm-hmm. Very, I mean, I would say about 50% of the time you see the same amount of numbers, but right. The other 50% is different. And individuals who like don't have the correct solar installer educating them, they're not going to understand like, why is this happening? Like, why isn't my bill going down mm-hmm. as much as like they said, right? So there's a lot of factors, man. Yeah, and you have absolutely. To be educated to be able to explain this stuff.
And it's continuous though. Exactly. So again, I heard it, but just our conversation right now, I was like, wow, okay. That's what he really meant. Right. I heard him,
right?
But I didn't know what he meant.
Exactly.
But now I know what he meant based on what you're telling me.
You're
now.
Also living it too, right?
Exactly.
You're
exactly.
living it too. You're going to be able to, I mean, you said you like Dale. You're going to be able to see, okay, this is how much I use. This is how much I sold back to the grid. Mm-hmm. This is how much my total consumption went up. So that's one of the things that a lot of people forget. Like, once you have solar, they're like, okay, all my energy is going to be green, and they just turn on all the
no,
lights.
No, it's
I'm
not.
Like, yeah. Don't do that.
Don't do that. All you're doing is raising it higher. Right.
And so we had like this one customer. We had a customer, and he said, hey, are these right? And I was like, you're using 20% more than at this point last year. I'm like, that's
why are you doing that?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Like, you got to, you know, calm it down, yeah. buddy. Calm it down. Slow it down.
I'm unlimited now.
Yeah.
So
stay tuned for part two of our interview with Gustavo Arce from Better Tomorrow Solar, where we get back into the actual solar information as well as how to inform our communities. Thank you, and we'll see you next time on the Minorities Report podcast.